In their ruddy jackets of leather that reached to their knees, the men of Earl appeared before their lord, the stately white-haired man in his long red room. He leaned in his carven chair and heard their spokesman. And thus their spokesman said, "For 700 years, the chiefs of your race have ruled us well, and their deeds are remembered by the minor minstrels, living on yet in their little tinkling songs. And yet the generations stream away, and there is no new thing." "What would you?" said the lord. "We would be ruled by a magic lord," they said. "So be it," said the lord. "It is 500 years since my people have spoken thus in Parliament, and it shall always be as your Parliament saith. You have spoken. So be it." Nobody can tell you about that sword all that there is to be told of it, for those that know of those paths of space on which its metals once floated till Earth caught them one by one as she sailed past on her orbit have little time to waste on such things as magic, and so cannot tell you how the sword was made. And those who know whence poetry is, and the need that man has for song, or know any one of the 50 branches of magic, have little time to waste on such things as science, and so cannot tell you whence its ingredients came. Enough that it was once beyond our earth, and was now here amongst our mundane stones, that it was once but as those stones, and now had something in it such as soft music has. Let those that can define it. Alveric knew not fatigue, for he was young, nor she, for she was ageless. They rushed forward, he taking her hand. The Elf King lifted his beard, and just as he began to intone a rune that only once may be uttered, against which nothing from our fields can avail, they were through the frontier of twilight, and the rune shook and troubled those lands in which Lirizel walked no longer. When Lirizel looked upon the fields we know, as strange to her as once they have been to us, their beauty delighted her. She laughed to see the haystacks and loved their quaintness. A lark was singing, and Lirizel spoke to it, and the lark seemed not to understand, but she turned to other glories of our fields, for all were new to her, and forgot the lark. It was curiously no longer the season of bluebells, for all the foxgloves were blooming, and the may was gone, and the wild roses were there. Alveric never understood this. It was early morning, and the sun was shining, giving soft colours to our fields. And Lirizel rejoiced in those fields of ours at more common things than one might believe there were amongst the familiar sights of Earth's every day. So glad was she, so gay, with her cries of surprise and her laughter, that there seemed thenceforth to Alveric a beauty that he had never dreamed of in buttercups, and a humour in carts that he never had thought of before. Each moment she found with a cry of joyous discovery some treasure of Earth's that he had not known to be fair. And then, as he watched her bringing a beauty to our fields, more delicate even than that the wild roses brought, he saw that her crown of ice had melted away.